Lessons from the Lave. Yom Kippur Abba Aleinu Latova. We will focus on Hayom HaGodol VeAnoyri, which is only a few days away. It's a little bit scary for me to talk about what I'm going to talk about because the guy's right next to right over here. Rabbi is going to get a wonderful, amazing Shabbos Shuvah drasha, and as he was giving it, and I think this is the way we should react all the time when we're learning. If you learn something, number one, you write it down, you're going to be very successful in life. But if you listen to a shir and you say to yourself, wait, I have to give this over to somebody, the shir is going to be different because when you have to give it over to somebody, you're not going to be space out. So there's a point that he started to say, and I started to think about, you know, what fact can I bring to you that is going to change your Yom Kippur? A hard thing to do. And I think it's very, very, very important. He spoke about something very, very interesting in general, the idea of this year. This year is a very unique and beautiful year because this year, of course, is the Shemitah year. We're just discussing there our Esrogim. It's the Shemitah year. And a number of cool things happen, right? We just talked about the Esrogim. So the Esrogim are Hefker. So all these fields, either the Beis Din has taken all them, and the guy who's going to be getting money for the Esrogim are going to get literally pennies on the dollar that he would normally get, or people are just taking them out. So different Shitas. From what I understand from Esrog orchard owners, farmers, they say that they don't like when people come and pick it because generally people don't know how to cut it appropriately and it kills the Esrog tree for the next year. So oats are based and they know what they're doing. Okay, whatever it might be. But at the core of what's going on over there is something pretty amazing, and that is basically us saying once every 7 years, I don't own you. Right? If I own a field, understand that in the day, farming was the only thing that was around. There was only farming. Farming was the profession. And there's always good farmers, bad farmers, right? The same thing in business. And in business, it's like always someone that owns you, right? There's a guy, I deal with this as funny as it sounds, even in the business of catering, where the schools own us, basically. A school could call up and say, hi, you're kicked out tomorrow. During Corona, we had this. Or we don't like the chef. Fire him now. We're not in control. Shemitah is nobody's in control. This guy's field doesn't belong to him. I literally can walk on his field and take an apple. It's Hefker. Okay? There's something to that beautiful experience. And then amazingly, at the end of the Shemitah year, which we experienced last week, was Shemitah's Kesafin. Your money doesn't belong to you. The loans, the debts, it's pretty amazing. And it's interesting, Rav Bachno quoted, it's actually the halacha, really, the feeling that the lender has. Really, the person that owes the money technically really does owe the money. He's just potter because I said, I don't own you anymore. It's amazing. And the Yom Kippur experience, there are two interesting similarities. He spoke about how the Torah is read, as we know, one of the central focuses. The Torah is read on Yom Kippurim. And we have that unique thing where the second part of the Torah is read by heart because of Tirchat Tzibura. And then there's a reading that's done after the Shemitah year, right, that unfortunately we'll only commemorate this year, the Hakel, where the Melech, right, and I think if I'm not mistaken, you'll see this happen, this is this year, Rabbi Yisai, at the Kotel, where there's no Melech, but the President of Israel, right, will probably come and read a few Psukim in the Torah. Right? It's symbolic. It's not the way that it used to be, the beautiful Gemara that says in Sota and Daf Mem Aleph, Parshas HaMelech, Ketzad Moitzi Yom Tov HaRishon Shelachag, Hashmini, on Chag of Sukkot, on the eighth year of Shemitah, the Motzi Shvius, where we are now, Oisimbo, Bimashal Eitz, Be'ezra, Be'azara, Vayoshev Alea, and he said, Mikesh Shavashan, and he reads from the Torah. But we also know that this is the central focus. Ba lo hakoyen, Yuma, Samaches, Likrois, Imratza, Likrois, Big Day Buds, and Kore, right, and he reads the Torah. The question is, and there's an interesting Gemara, which I never knew the way the Rav Bachno read it is very interesting. It says, Va'achakach, kol echad v'echad mi sefer Torah mi beiso. Everybody brought their own personal sefer Torah. This week's parasha was, Kisvu lechem es hashir azos. That's the only svarim they had in those days. So everybody had a personal sefer Torah, v'karubo. And they read from the Torah on Yom Kippur. They brought their own Torahs there. Now, because it could turn out to be on Shabbos, and I'm sorry, because it's Yom Kippur, so can you imagine how many thousands of Sefer Torahs were kept there on Yom Kippur, and you have to find your Torah? And Rashi says, why? L'harot et ha'yofi shal Sefer Torah. No, Look how beautiful my Sefer Torah is. This is, again, the joke is that if Esrog, the mitzvah of Dalet Minim, was done in the privacy of your own home, trust me, it would look pretty ugly, your Esrogim, right? But we care because a guy's going to come up to you and go, let me see what you got. What did you get in Kfar Chabad? And see, ooh. Obviously, you got an Aleph Aleph. Obviously, you spent a little bit more money, right? And if the mitzvah of Murr, which we do in our privacy of our own home, was something that you did in public, oh baby, you would have like the sheer of, you know, chazonish, and you'd be like, this doesn't bother me at all. You know, like the, what's that Hot Wings show that they have, you know? Oh, this doesn't bother me, stop, come on. You know, you would take your milk and drink it. Okay, fine. So what's going on over here? What's the similarity or the differences between these two Torah readings? One of the Melech and one of the Kohen. So Rav Bagna went on to quote Hashem Yishmuel, and his core of his discussion was about Achdus. Was what Shemitah signified. The Shem Yishmuel, the Sagot Shavu Revis, says, V'nilu l'farish dihinei amru zal Yushalmi nedarim v'hafta l'recha kamochu klal gadol batoru, famous from, of course, Rabbi Yekiva also says, Kol Yisrael ki'ishechad b'levechad, that unique moment of Mamad Har Sinai, which, by the way, we commemorate on Yom Kippur itself with the Stechen Luchos were given to us. Here in the yeshiva on right after Kol Nidre, Rav Boaz will speak about the importance of Achdus. And he'll spend some time, I don't know if you remember from last year, right, Huggy and Kissy, that we'll all get together and we'll, because we're at Sibor. And if we're not ba'achdus, our tefillos are worthless. There's this concept of being ba'achdus, being together. You're not allowed to work it because you're not in charge of everybody else. Achdus isn't, I'm in a higher position than you are. Do you have any idea how many fields that I own? No. It's everybody but Achdus. And it got me thinking the two differences here. There's a tremendous difference between the Achdus of Shemitah, Moitzi Shemitah, and we all know the story, right, of the Mori Kohen. Of all the Jews, but Achdus being on, right, we have to lesvados. Everybody has to come into Yom Kippur. Even before Yom Kippur starts, we do the vidoy at Mincha. We have to come in clean, on a clean slate. But we come to Achdus, we've said we're sorry to everybody. There's a great similarity of the Achdus of the day. And as the Navi says, Yishai Ribo, that Kol Ha'am, right, everybody after, right, in his beautiful song, the Avoda, my favorite part, right, around, I don't know, 4 minutes and 40 seconds in, right? It's so inspiring. V'chol ha'am. And they all were coming with him. And they reveal to the Beit Ov, Omrim, Ashrei ha'am shekachal, right? Ashrei ha'am shekachal, Hashem. We're so lucky we have this. And everybody was excited. And then it starts to think to yourself, wait a minute, what the heck is going on over here? This is a happy day, right? This isn't our discussion that we had on Rosh Hashanah. We were asking, is it happy? Is it sad? Which one is it? If I were to think what Yom Kippur is, I would say this is a tremendously difficult day. I don't want to say the word sad, but sad would be a good term for it. Frightened, fear. Happy? The answer is yes. And at the core, which I've always thought is funny, it was the first time I ever heard this. I remember it was from Moshe Weinberger, said it over at the schuss of attending with my father, his shirim, when his shul first opened. And he said this comment that always made no sense to me. At the height of our avoda, of our personal avoda on Yom Kippurim, we'll be saying the Ashamnus many, 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 many times. And when the Chazan reviews the Ashamnus, what do we say? We sing it. And I always thought this was funny, and I want to just read for you who don't like English so much. What do we say? Ay. We become guilty. We betrayed. We robbed, we spoke slander, we're wicked, we turned away from you, we're corrupted. Ay, 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 we're evil people. What the heck is going on up here? And yeah, I could ask on the Svaritim as well, the entire month, what are they singing? Chatanu lefanecha, we have sinned in front of your face. What the heck is going on up here? What are you singing for? Stop it. Are you crazy? Baruch Rosenblum quotes the Tana of Eliyahu, who says, singing? We have that gall? I have stolen, I'm guilty. Yes. Hashem's smiling with us. Simcha gedoy lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Tana d'Eliyahu. He says they finally get it. They want to clean themselves. They want to take it out. Nebuch, a child who's sick. And they finally get out all the cancer. Or he has a parasite inside of him. And the doctor explains he's going to have to get it all out. And it finally comes out. Ah, he's clean. He rings the bell. I'm cancer free. I don't have the parasite, whatever it might be. Tana d'Eliyahu tells the mashal of the king. And the king comes to the people and he says, Rabbeisai, this is the dirtiest town that we have. Clean the town. Go into your homes and clean and clean. And everybody goes into their homes and they clean. And they take out all the garbage bags and they dafka throw it in the garbage in front of the palace. And it's piling up and it's overflowing. And you would think that's a chutzpah. No, the king looks at it and says, ah, they're listening to me. That's why we're singing. They listen to me. And they think that there's a difference because we know Yom Kippur, excuse me for saying this, but Yom Kippur is a fake day. It's fake. We come to the Rebbeinu Shalom and we're wearing white. We're like Malachim, Chamesh and Nuyim. We don't do anything. We focus, we don't wear shoes. We're not in charge. And we spoke about Shemitah, we're not in charge anymore. Shoes are in charge. Shoes are made out of leather. That's why you can't wear leather shoes. What's leather shoes? We dafka wear an animal shoes. And we say, you think you're in charge, crocodile? I'm wearing you on me. I don't know if you're allowed to do that anymore. But I'm wearing you. I'm wearing you, Mr. Mumu. Right? Terrible. But that's what we do. No, nobody's in charge now. No, Rebbeinu Shalom. You're in charge. We're like Malachim. We wear all white. We stand with our feet together, the Malachim say. They look like us. Regel achas. Back in the olden days in Europe, people had a custom. They would stand the entire davening. Crazy. Crazy beautiful. What's going on over here? So the coin represents the spirituality, the way that we really want to be, but I think the melech is different. Rav Kook explains that the melech, this week's parasha said, V'ata kisvu lechem es hashir hazos. You have to write your own Torah. So why was the king himself in Parsha Shoftim commanded to also write a Torah? Two Torahs, why? It's the Torah of the Rabbin. We try to be good as individuals. We try to be Mekadesh Hashem. But as a tzibur, it's much more difficult. I'm sure you had that speech. You're on the bus, you're about to get off the bus in high school on a trip, and the principal comes on and he says, your boys are wearing yarmulkes. Remember, you know, Kill Hashem. You're a tzibur. One kid does something bad. I think that that's more the gashmias, the day-to-day life. Sukkos is the regular time. The happiness. Zman simchaseinu. We're with our swords. We're coming to the Rebbeinu Shalom and say, we did it. We won the Yom Kippur battle. We won. But then the Rebbeinu Shalom says, well, what about your gashmias? Where are you there? Is your gashmias ruchnias? For one day a year, we take out, and the neshama is so happy that we sing. The neshama singing and saying, Hashem, nu baganu, yes. Finally, he gets it. Take that physicality out of his life. That's what we're trying to do. Rav Dessler says that we have this concept of zchus avos. We'll be repeating this many and many times, over and over again, zchus avos. What is zchus avos, Rav Dessler? Azai chutzpah? We come to the Rebbeinu Shalom, and what do we say to him? Hey, God, so yeah, you remember Avram? So can you let me in? That's my dad. My great-great-great-grandpa. Let me in. What? So he doesn't say that it's zchus avos. He says you read it differently. Read it zakot avot. Like shemen zayit zoch. Zochot avot. What does zochot mean? What does zach mean? Purity. We come to the Rebbeinu Shalom and he says that I'm from that shevet. I'm from that DNA. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. I'm pure. That's who I want to be. But that's who really I am. Yom Kippur is an experience of saying, that's really who I am. Of course, you all know the word of the Zohar. Yom Kippurim. Why? Because Purim is the one day of year that we take physicality, the worst form of physicality, of gashmias, drinking. And we say, okay, let's test you and see who you are. Unfortunately, some of the Shabbat guys start a little bit early. I'm told. I want to see the Gashmias. Yom Kippur's real, yes, but a little fake. Oh, 6 months later on Purim, we'll see who you are. And I always say this, don't get drunk if you know you're not that person yet. But we've seen this. Some people get drunk and then, wow, you're Rosh Yeshiva, the Rabbanim, they get, oh, that's a drunk, tipsy, whatever it might be. Rav Asher Weiss on Thursday night had a beautiful vort. One of the most beautiful piyutim that we say, which we'll continue saying on Yom Kippur, of course, is Misha Ana. Misha Ana Lavim Ravinu Hu Yaneinu. Misha Ana Lamoshe. So Rav Asher Weiss says, what are we saying here? You know why you should answer me, guard? Because of Avram. It's my man. It's me. No, it's not you, you idiot. What? No, David, Shlomo, that's me. Hanan and Michelle the Azari, you know those people that went into the Kibshon Eish? That's me. Yeah, like you would ever do that. What are you talking about? And then we say, okay, if you don't like any of these, Mishana Lachal, Tzadikim, HaChasidim, HaTaminim, HaYisharim, which one of those are you? You're the Chasid? You're the Tzadik? You're the Taminim? What the heck is going on over here? So Rosh Hashanah says, it's the next paragraph. The next paragraph is a difficult paragraph because it's in Aramaic. Rachmana de'ani, O merciful one who answers the poor. O merciful one who answers the brokenhearted, the humble, v'chulu v'chulu. When we speak in Aramaic, we move away the intermediary of Malachim. It's just us and Hashem because they apparently don't understand Aramaic. And we say to Hashem, I know what I just said. But you want to know who I really am? I'm nothing. I'm nobody. But remember Zechus Avos. Remember what I really want to be. Remember this moment when I said to myself, I'm being Mekadosh Amanash Nutzali, the famous Gemara, of course, in Kedusha. You go up to that Tferet girl and you say to her, Shana Aleph, obviously, not you guys. Shana Aleph, and you say, Hariat Mekudesh Ali, Harisha Nitzadek. This, and right, and as he finishes and gives her the ring, he takes out a cheeseburger and eats it. He's a Rasha. Mikudesha. Shema Yahar B'tshuva. Salvechik writes this idea. Rav Aaron Salvechik writes this idea as well. You got to start the process. Mafkia shame Rasha, Rav Aaron Salvechik says. You got to start the process of saying, I want this. You're my dad. I don't like the relationship we had the whole year. I want Schus Avos. I want Schus David. I want Schus Shlomo. And then we say it in Aramaic. The closest, most intimate prayer to you, Rabbanu Shalom. It's beautiful. That's what we should be doing. That's what we should be focusing on. That relationship with the Rabbanu Shalom. And I think that's the difference between the two Torah readings. Of the Kohen Gadol who's representing us, but on the highest level. The kids would come up and say, wow, look at the Kohen. Wow, look at... That's not really who we are, unfortunately. But during Hakel, that's who we are. The Melech represents us. He's the regular guy. He wasn't the biggest tzaddik necessarily. That's very important. And that's what the Navi said in Shabbat Shuva. Lichui machem tuvarim. Take with you something. Rabbi Yisai, it's Erev Yom Kippurim. You need to come to the Rabbi Shalom and say, here's at least a little bit of what I've done. But imagine that sight. You go to Yom Kippur, and the Kazam Aznayim is like this, right? The scale is like this. And the Malachim are laughing. Maybe not the Malachim. The Satan. And he's like, this guy stinks. Look at him. Look. Look how many Averis he has. This judgment is pretty easy. Let's go, Your Honor. The Rebbeinu Shlomo says, well, do you have anything? And he brings this little bag. And he opens the bag, and he says, here's what I've done the last 40 days. And the Satan's laughing. What is that? He says, well, I started a new Sefer. I want to finish it this year. And I can't finish Shas, but I committed myself to learn one Gemara. I joined this Chesed group. I started coming to Davening a little bit more on time. The little things. And he's laughing, the Satan. That's it. And the Rabbeinu Shalom says, see, you forgot something. It's my son. He's my son. Most people, you're right, I would kick him out of here. But he's trying at least. Famous story, I've told the story before, about the Melech that has to banish his son, and he banishes the son, and he says, get out of here, I don't want you, you're nothing to me. And it bothers him. So he sends him away with one of the Melech's assistants, and he gets an apartment and he lives there. And after a number of years, the Melech can't take it anymore, and he says, I got to bring him back, I can't. And his assistant says to him, but dear Melech, he violated it. He says, okay, fine. I'll wait it. If he asks me to come back to the palace, I'm going to let him in. And it becomes this grand ceremony where the king's son comes back. This is before we had YouTube shorts, Facebook Live. And it's all, everybody's watching it. And he comes and he says, Dad, can I talk to you? And he says, this is it. And everybody's like, oh, here it comes. This is it. I could talk to you? He said, yes. Because I have to make a request. Here it comes, making the request. This is it, yes. He says, you know the apartment that I live in? It's really not so great. Yes, here it is. Is there any way you can buy me a new mattress? What? King's like, what? Yeah, you know, I have a stipend every month, but you know, inflation, Biden. Can you give me a little bit more money? He says, you idiot. You want a better mattress? What about coming back to the palace? We're asking for the wrong things, Ribbono Shel Olam. It's Erev Yom Kippurim. Tell the Ribbono Shel Olam, I want to return to you. I want to be like Mishon Alav and Baharim or Yahu Yaneinu. Yes! That's me. Rachman Bey, I know that. I'm not really there yet, but I want to be there. Final story, surprisingly. I told the story over Shabbos. It didn't get good reviews, so maybe you won't like the story. I've heard the story now twice from two different Rabbeim, obviously from Rabbi Bitterman and from Rabbi Chaim Waxman. The same story, both of them corroborating it's 100% true, the story. They know the person. You know, like, I don't know the person, but okay. Here's the story. We'll end with this. My dream. There's a rabbi in Yerushalayim who gives a shiur to Balabatim. Balabatim who have made it. They've made Aliyah from America, and they made it big time. They're older, they're retired now. They made it big time, so they learn with us. Yeah, they do a daf a day, or whatever it is, a few try to do a daf a day. They finally made this grand siyum. And they tell the rabbi, at the siyum, you're never going to see a siyum like this. You think MDY is a siyum? Oh, this is going to be a siyum. They have choice cut meats and everything, and of course, with everything comes the choicest alcohols in the world. This Rav doesn't know from you know, alcohols, Manischewitz, you know, he thinks is the good, fine. And one guy gets, unfortunately, a little too drunk. And he tells everybody, I want to tell you the story of who I am and why I'm here. And he says it was right after the Holocaust when my parents escaped the Holocaust. And we got to New York. And unfortunately, I lost everything. The Holocaust very much affected me. And I was, forget about religious, forget about Jewish, I didn't know what I was. And I got together with a bunch of gangsters. We left high school. And the old Jewish guys, and we started figuring out how to play the system. And we were stealing and robbing. We were doing everything you could do. And one fine day, we closed what was going to be the biggest business deal we ever had. And we went into this wonderful restaurant. I went in there with my fancy schmancy suit and my Rolex watch on, and I came out of there in handcuffs. It was a sting operation from the FBI. And I get there, and they're questioning me. I'm trying to get bail. I have a lot of money. I could get bail. And they're telling me how bad my situation is. And before they let me out on bail, they explained to me that my other friend, there are three friends that were arrested. My other friend has already committed to ratting me out so that he gets less of a sentence. And the third person has already escaped and they don't know where he is. So you're the guy that we're going to, that's it, 25 years you're going to get. He can't believe this. He's 22 years old. His life is over. So he's knows he's got good lawyers, but he goes and sits in a coffee shop, grabs a cup of coffee, and he puts his head down and just starts crying. And he says, I'm done. I can't believe this. Why did I do this? This guy comes up to him. He says, No. Van Tuster. What's going on? You sad? You have troubles? He says, dude, get away from me. Do me a favor. Just get out of my face. What do you know from troubles? I know troubles. I'm in big trouble. 22, 25 years in prison. I said, excuse me, put your head up for a second. What do I know from troubles? Shows him his number. I know troubles. I was in concentration camp. So he feels bad. So he talks to him. He tells him the whole story. He says, that's no problem, that story. He says, what? He says, come with me. He takes him to a little apartment building, knocks on the door. He says, Rebbe, I have somebody who needs to speak to you. It's the Alte, the Skolner Rebbe. The Skolner Rebbe takes him, obviously knows that he's Jewish, and he says, don't worry about it. Everything's going to be okay. But don't get upset when your fancy schmancy lawyer doesn't show up. Don't get upset. You're going to be okay. This guy doesn't know what's going on. He shows up to his case. His lawyer says, don't worry. We have a good case. We're going to work on it. You're not going to get 25 years, only a few years in prison. And you know, all rise. Criminal court is now in session. The honorable whatever. Judge Judy is in session. And so where's your lawyer? He's like, I don't know. Where is my lawyer? It's before cell phones. Where's the lawyer? They can't find the lawyer. She says, what's going on? He's 30 minutes. The lawyer's not here. Finally, they reached the law firm. They said, listen, we're really sorry. He had a case yesterday in Chicago. We thought he didn't make it back on time. Can we have another 30 minutes? We're sending another seasoned lawyer. 30 minutes later, this kid walks in, seasoned lawyer, probably just got out of law school. He says, can I have 5 minutes? Can I look over the case? He doesn't know what the case is. What'd you do? Oh, wow, you're dead. You're in trouble. This guy's like, I don't believe this. And he remembers now the skull in the rabbi. He said, don't worry. And he gets up there and he starts his thing. So when you give the opening statement, it takes like 5-10 minutes. He goes on for an hour. And it literally sounds like he's quoting everything from the law book that he just graduated. It's like, it's forced martyred. It's Dina de Bechus Dina. I can imagine the guy named Basin. It's Shnaim Abim, Loyakum Badover, Eda Chanem and Basurim. It's going on and on. And the other lawyers are like, what the heck is going on? And the other. And he finishes after an hour. And the judge says to the other side, this is the state. This is the case you prepared. Did you hear all the things that he said? Did you hear? What's wrong with you? How do you not prepare the case? Case dismissed. Everybody's looking and nobody knows what's going on. And that's it. It's this final judgment. Goes up to this lawyer. He goes, honestly, I didn't understand a word you said. What? How were you so prepared? He goes, prepared? I don't know. I just was saying words and words and words. He says, how'd we get off? He goes, oh, the judge is my grandfather. So the story ends that he goes to the Skolner Rebbe to thank him. The Skolner Rebbe says, you owe me big time. He's like, I'm not going to be firm, I'm telling you right now. Don't give me this, you have to be firm now. He goes, no, you don't have to be firm. One thing you have to do for me. Every morning you have to put tefillin on. I assume this is around maybe the 50s. He says, there used to be a time where you would go into a store, they wouldn't sell you tefillin unless they thought you were firm. I don't know, maybe tefillin wasn't as easy to... He said he had to get a letter from a rabbi, from Chabad, and that's how he got was able to get the tefillin. It led him not only, obviously, to wearing tefillin every day. It led him to Baruch Hashem, moving to Eretz Yisrael, learning in Kolel. All of his kids, Bari Vishalim, from people, amazing. So what do we take from the story? So some people say, some people said, what? A Jew wouldn't take money for tefillin? That's not, no. What do we learn from the story, Rabbi Yisai? Ultimately, at the end of the day, he's my grandfather. He's my dad. Even though we're going to say Avinu Malkeinu many times, he's first Avinu and then Malkeinu. He's first Lachlanu Avinu Kichatanu. He's my dad and he wants to sing with us Hashem the Bagano, I've been guilty. Because you finally are apologizing. You're finally getting it. He's my grandpa. And even though a lot of the things that we're going to say on Yom Kippur are not going to affect us so much, even if we have an art school sitter, because all we're going to be doing is saying, oh my God, 782 pages left. Oh my God. Oh, wait, it's half of them are in English. Okay, it's not that bad. We should be Zoicha Rabbi Yisai to get the fact that the greatest day of the year is the day of Kapparu. The Baruch Shalom is smiling at us. There's a great simcha of the day. That's why there's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippurim. Because the Baruch Shalom comes to us and says, I want to be together with you. Where's the suit of Yom Kippur, Mr. Yontif? Erev Yom Kippur. We should be zeichet to have a Gemara Chassim HaTorah V'la'al Tov Chaim Tov M'Sholom. Everybody should get it more than they got it last year. And make Chul Lechem Dvarim. Make small changes in your life to give Nachas Ruach to our Father in Heaven, to the Rebbeinu Shalom. We should be zeichet to see V'yaz Gol Tzedek M'Hevri Yameinu Amen.